Deutschlandfunk Nova. Grünstreifen.
Dieser Jake Isaac, ne, der lebt gerade so richtig seinen Traum. Der Musiker aus London, der ist unterwegs, der füllt Clubs, spielt seine Songs. Freunde hat er auch dabei, so als Bandmitglieder eingekauft. Gerade ist er bei uns in Deutschland unterwegs, spielt eine kleine Tour. Am Freitag kommt dann sein Debütalbum raus, Our Lives heißt das. Und er hat uns heute besucht im Studio und Rede und Antwort gestanden. Und zuerst wollte ich wissen, ob er sich eigentlich noch an den Song erinnert, bei dem er das erste Mal dachte, oh Mann ey, das ist nicht nur gut, das will ich auch mal machen, wenn ich groß bin.
You know, I didn't think I want to be a musician. I just thought, oh my gosh, the power of music is incredible. So the first time I ever saw Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Dude, the music video. So when I saw that, I remember being overwhelmed. I was scared because it's scary, huh? It's a scary video.
Of course.
With the zombies and all that. But I remember watching it being like, I felt like I could dance. I couldn't dance. I'm a rubbish dancer. But I felt like I could dance. He made me feel like I want. And even though I couldn't understand what Michael was saying, sorry to any Michael Jackson fans. But when I was 8 years old, I didn't understand, but it felt great. And I wanted to sing along. It was outrageous. And I realized from then, actually, if music can make me do that from watching a music video on MTV, man,
that's crazy.
It's a good way to go, you know?
Yeah. I totally understand. You started as a multi-instrumentalist, recording
sure.
your own songs, publishing them on your own.
Sure.
Now you're kind of part of a great Jack Isaac machinery.
Whoa.
Yeah,
Wait a minute.
You have a major label, you have a band and so on.
Okay.
Is that something which troubles you or do you enjoy it?
You know, the reason it doesn't trouble me, and the reason why, is because I don't see it as a big deal. I see it as still little old me trying to make songs that people can dance to, that they can listen to during hard times, good times. I see it just as me and my guitar and then have my friends with me, you know? And with the label thing and with my management with Elton John and just the great people I have around me, I see it as, oh man, you believe in what I do. And I'm so, so grateful. Thank you. And I'm going to try and work hard. And it's just me trying to work hard to help people enjoy their journeys with a bit of music.
But didn't you think like, score, sign this contract?
You know what? I just felt grateful, you know? It wasn't like Christmas. It was just like, actually, man, this is a privilege. So I'm going to work hard for it. You know?
Mm-hmm. What was harder to let go? Somebody else playing the instruments you used to play?
Sure.
Or somebody else doing, you know, all the publishing, organizing stuff?
No, I was easy. Letting go of the back end, so like the office, the administration of what I do, was easy. That was great. Actually, that's probably harder because I really wanted to make sure that what I do musically and artistically is presented well online and in, you know, and et cetera. It was hard with my management at one point where I was like, oh, have we done this? Have we done that? Have we done this? Because I wanted my listeners, I didn't have a lot of listeners, you know, now it's grown, but I wanted the few people that are interested in what I do to have the best of what I could do and to have access to it. And so I was always talking to my manager, can we do this? Can we do this? I wanted to look this way and did it. And then after a while, I realized, Jake, there's a saying, collaboration brings innovation. When you work with other people, you get more.
More ideas.
Totally.
More influences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I kind of came to the point where I thought, you know what? I need to let you do your job and I do my job, you know? And it works better and I'm here.
But if you say your band is, they are friends.
Sure.
Isn't that kind of complicated? I mean, you are like the band leader and do you have like a tone? So let's do it. It's 9 to 5. Come on, guys.
No. So I think it doesn't feel like work when you're on the road with your friends. It's but they're the friends I can trust with this, you know? Some friends I can't trust to be out on the road with me and because they'll just be off getting smashed every night, you know? Like, come on, man, we got things to do. But these guys, I trust them. And they sometimes, in fact, a lot of the time, they're the ones pulling me up, coming, come on, Jake, work hard, get up, early. Come on, let's go. Lobby, hotel, let's do it. You know, and those are the kind of friends I need.
So you are a good boss. And they would say the same if I would ask them.
Oh, yeah. I 100% believe that. Want to believe that.
Okay, also Jake Isaac sagt schon mal, er ist ein guter Boss und er hat auf jeden Fall auch die richtigen Freunde ausgesucht, die ihn nämlich auch mal in den Arsch treten, wenn er nicht so richtig Bock hat, irgendwie aufzustehen. Das ist so viel dazu. Teil 2 des Interviews hören wir gleich, aber jetzt wollen wir natürlich auch wissen, wie die Musik klingt, die dieser Mann da macht. Und hier kommt jetzt Long Road von ihm.
People say I'll never find just what I'm looking for.
Das ist Jake Isaac. Ich kann ja auch so ein bisschen gemein sein, ne? Also wenn Musiker hier sind bei uns zu Gast im Studio, dann möchte ich schon, dass das jetzt nicht so ein Standardprogramm wird. Da müssen sie also ein bisschen ins Zeug legen. Nun hat mir vorher die Musikredaktion erklärt, dass Jake Isaac unter anderem, als er noch in der Schule war, so Beatboxing gemacht hat. Tja, und da musste er dann durch. Ich habe ihn gefragt, wie also die Beatbox-Version zu diesem gerade eben gehörten Song Long Road klingen würde.
Okay, that's what you're getting.
Impressive.
Oh man, it's been years.
Okay, so Long Road is about your journey as a musician and a person too. Do you think right now becoming famous, touring through clubs, all that stuff, having a major label in the back, is it, yes, I worked so long and hard for it, or is it more like I'm on a fast track right now and I don't really get it?
It's more like I've been working hard and I'm still working hard. I think the minute you stop working hard and think you're on a fast track, that's dangerous. I'd rather keep the mentality of work hard for everything and rather than completely just become complacent, you know, or just relax. I didn't get here by relaxing. I got here by working hard. And I think that's a good sign and a good indicator to keep the same mindset, you know. But again, the thing that I find is really useful to do is to work hard, but to be grateful. So you, it's not pressure. It's do your best without any pressure.
You say you don't want to write songs which are, you know, like an emotional insight only, like a diary or, I mean, people who should visit a shrink and doing songs instead.
Sure, sure.
You want to write songs who relate to people.
Yeah,
this is not easy. I mean, it's easy said, but how do you find your topics?
Okay, good. That's a really good question. I think the things that everyone has in common is love, life, hope, and death. Somewhere in between that, I write from a personal place. Sometimes the songs aren't even about me. Sometimes I'm about my friends. And what I do is I write the songs as honestly as possible. I make sure I don't try and be too clever with lyrics. I'm not that clever anyway as a person, but I try and be simple and honest and sing things the way I would say them. The most poetic I'd probably be on, there's a song on the album, which is on my new album, which is called Will You Be. There's a line in it which goes, "Will you be my only love? And let me love you from dusk till dawn, and at the dawn be the first I see. If you please, will you be?" That's like the most poetic I get, you know? But it's just me saying, look, I actually don't want anyone else, you know? Mm-hmm. And I try and be honest with that. And hopefully people can identify with that and say, actually, yeah, there's one person I wouldn't mind waking up to for the rest of my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I try and relate to people, by being honest, yeah.
And there's another part of you, not only the poetic, emotional part, but the party animal too?
Sure.
So how would a party look like where they play your songs?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, a Jake Isaac party. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. At the door, at the front door, you'd have a load of businessmen and businesswomen in suits, collars. Right?
Why that?
And, I'm going with it.
Okay, okay.
And then, and then you'd have a load of kids coming out of school, like, dressed really well, academics, really focused, really, you know, look serious. They get to the door, the bouncer checks the name on the list, make sure they're here for the party and they're serious about the party. They get through the door, they go for a little room. In the room, no one else can see in the room, but they are allowed to rip off all their clothes, everything, down to their underwears, run out the other side, come to the middle of the dance floor and go crazy. That's a Jake Isaac party.
Yeah, that's a good one. I want to be on the list.
Oh, babe, anytime.
And another, the last thing I want to ask you, you are making up your mind yeah. about what happens after your music career. I never heard something about, it's like, what will I do when this
my retirement
yeah.
plan.
Why? Are you so pragmatic?
Like, no, you know, I have no answer for that. I will say this. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. I should enjoy the moment and go with it and see where it takes me. So on national radio, I'm very sorry.
Okay, es tut ihm also leid, dass er sich schon Gedanken darüber macht, was nach seiner Musikkarriere passieren wird. Und deswegen hat er es im Radio nochmal gesagt. Es tut ihm leid.
Deutschlandfunk Nova. Grünstreifen.